Resolution 24-124, moved by Councilor Ryland, seconded by Councilor Haskin. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the minutes of the February 22nd, 2024 meeting of the Town of Perry Sound EMS.
Perry Sound?
Town of Perry Sound EMS Advisory Committee.
Sir. We're leaving it for one.
Any discussion? All the question? All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried.
Is this the first time we've received these? Or one of the first times we've
received these? One of the first times.
Yeah. Okay.
And last, that's not that you mentioned that. They even, I listened to the meeting. They had a link on it, so they finally put it on so that you could watch the resume. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a step forward. So. And hopefully they'll keep sending those when they have meetings.
I remember from previous council meetings, that's all, but that we didn't get any reporting from them. But.
Yeah. So we'll have Resolution 24-125, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, seconded by Councilor Zulak. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the minutes of the February 22nd, 2024 meeting of the Township of McKellar Recreation Committee. Discussion of those minutes?
Just a question, Morley. Were you able to communicate with the historical community?
No, not as of yet. You're referring to the
arm wrestling?
Yeah, that's right. So we passed a motion. We put both locations,
yes.
And I guess I don't know who's going to make the ultimate decision where.
Probably the arm wrestlers. They'll probably win.
You're up.
So whether we just say no, go to the upstairs, or now James went downstairs, that's where they used to have it, and said, oh no, there's all sorts of rooms. So whether they start there, but if the historical says, okay, now we're going to start putting stuff in there, they're quite willing to ship upstairs. The only slight thing with being upstairs is there's all badminton's happening at the same time, so they would just all have to truck into the back room the same starting time as badminton, so that's probably not a big deal either. So we just say go do it and just use the upstairs room, forget the youth room.
Well, they have the option of using either, but I would think that the youth room is probably preferred,
mm-hmm.
only because if there is stuff from the historical committee or the historical society in the youth room, the risk of anything getting damaged, I'd just as soon avoid that.
So start off with the all-purpose room.
I would start with the all-purpose room.
Okay, so I will contact him and say he can contact the office and start arranging when he wants to start and get access. He said he used to have a key from a long time ago. I don't know if they ever changed, but he may need a key to the.
He'll just have a code to come.
Oh, a code to come in the kitchen door, right?
Yeah.
So
I wouldn't
okay.
be surprised that Mary Smith will be joining that anyway. So.
Oh yeah, good.
Yeah.
More supervision. That's nothing wrong with that, I guess. Okay, I guess I can leave. There's other stuff on the minutes. I don't know whether I touch on it now or leave it till.
Oh, you have a report later.
I have a report later.
Oh, sure. All the question? All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. And Resolution 24-126, moved by Councilor Haskin, seconded by Councilor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the Public Works Department quarterly report for October to December 2023 from Director of Operations Greg Gostick for information purposes. Discussion? I put this together. Don't have copies, but you can just glance at it. As we talked about a little more detail and a template. And so that just breaks it down into different areas of responsibility and what's happening in different areas. My suggestion would be that I guess there's a daily schedule set up for the staff as well, the employees, I would think, and then that something be filed at the end of the day when Greg can sit down and just keep a record of when things have happened and where he is in the process and that sort of thing, to keep council informed when a report comes. The report can be more detailed. So that was just what I put together. And it's not in paragraph form, it's more of a chart form, so that's easier for anybody to read. And it's broken into, like, the equipment itself, plus daily work, maintenance, He doesn't have to be detailed in every what they're doing every minute, but and then also on vehicles and the condition the vehicles are in. So also the cemetery and the transfer station and the community center.
Thank you.
Since he's responsible for all of those, that he just break it down and give us a little more detail on what's happening. So that could be done as a template.
Sorry,
and then
I didn't mean to take it away from you. But
then he could follow that, and it's all set up in Word, so it's expandable. Certainly you can put in whatever you need to put in. As I say, I think the point form seems to work better. And it's not to, as I say, do a daily surveillance of what's going on, but at least it gives us more detail.
My only other question is receiving a report today that was done for things 2 months
right.
ago and beyond, right? I mean,
yeah.
I would like to think it would be like within a month of the date of the report. In other words, that we'd get something for
yeah.
at least January and maybe even February. But without being onerous, and I don't think that is onerous, I think that's a possibility. So,
yeah, that's why the highlighted yellow, those are things that have come in since.
Yeah. yeah.
And as I say, I didn't put in other things, but I'm not really aware of what he's doing. So he could certainly look at the chart and see. And as you say, our original resolution was a monthly report, and I know he had suggested quarterly. If we want to stick with the monthly, as we had suggested, it keeps us more up to date, especially in the summer when more things are happening. And as I say, he has many areas of responsibility, and it's helpful to council to be aware if we're stopped and say, well, what's the roads department doing in a certain area, or when's that bridge going to be fixed, that sort of thing, when's the road going to be repaired, then if council has some awareness of what's on his agenda. And I know he changes the timelines of different things too, but that would give us a little better idea, as you say, on a monthly basis at least, not a daily. But and I don't think it's onerous, as you say. It's just a matter of filling in certain sections of a chart at the end of a day, and then you can put all those together for the monthly report and discard what wasn't that necessarily that important. And if he's doing the same sort of thing on for 2 weeks at a time, like ditching, then I don't think we need that on a daily basis. He could just sum that up.
And, anyway. I would be happy even if you said, you know, we ditched 23 roads or 10 roads or whatever it was. I don't know. We need to know the names of them. I'm sure he would know if necessary. But
well, I'm thinking the names might be important.
Okay.
Because especially for people wanting services and
yeah, people
areas.
On those roads that aren't ditched, yeah, they would probably want to know. So,
yeah.
Yeah, he would probably put the, I think in past reports he says what roads he has been working on. So,
yeah,
okay.
I think that it will be very useful as well because when you're reviewing work that has been done even during the budgeting process or asset management plan, then you can look back at the reports and determine that, oh, we just did those in 2024.
Right, that's key.
And plus it helps with the management end of what Greg is doing so that he has a good plan. He can look back at what was done, and then he can look and he can align with, you know, what he's going to plan for the next month.
Yeah.
You know, just have, there has to be more organized, definitely have to have it, you know, documented somewhere.
Well, that's true because, I mean, that has happened in the past too. Well, when was that road last tarred and chipped? Well, I don't know. I'm going to have to check some records. And usually you can't find the records. I mean, they know when it was done, maybe, but if you change staff, then you don't have any written record. So it would be useful, and as you say, a plan for moving forward too.
The hardest part is just going to be to get into that routine,
yeah.
You know, at the end of, I guess, daily, you know. Take half an hour and just do a review of what was accomplished, and I think that reflects well on the employees and the director of operations. That now we look and we say, well, maybe there was, you know, 12 things done over 3 months. We can look at that and show that you know, 100 things were accomplished.
Yeah.
I think it requires an effort for him to sit down and take time to do that kind of like administrative work,
mm-hmm.
which I'm sure he doesn't like doing, but I mean it's necessary to do. And perhaps he needs some guidance, assistance, direction, whatever words you want me to choose, to do so, right? Even if it was half an hour a day, right? Or whatever, 2 hours a week, or, you know, what is reasonable and what works.
I think doing it in this template.
Yeah, I think that'll help.
It's going
for sure.
to be much easier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I would like, if there's any doubt, I would like monthly. I mean, we do get them from the fire chief monthly, and well, we used to get them monthly from the bylaw officer too, but
we do have one.
Okay.
We actually bumped the fire the bylaw to the next
okay.
meeting because this one was kind of like the
okay. And you know, I can accept that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a thing of progress, right? So, yeah.
Okay. Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed. Carried.
Do we need a direction to him to do so?
There's already a resolution on.
Yeah, there is a resolution. A monthly report. So we'll
okay.
send the template over.
Okay.
With the resolution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had a reminder, yeah.
Well.
Depot Operations Agreement, Circular Materials of Ontario. Now, before we, I know you're supposed to read these first, but I think Carly has some background information for us.
So the Depot Operations Agreement was sent to Beltboom at Russell Christie and then also the Township's Insurance Company. They both provide comment back, and then those comments were forwarded to CMO for comment, and there was a lot of back and forth. So the discussions offered some clarity on sections related to indemnification and liability. So at the end, the insurer is okay with the agreement as is. And Ed Belton, he said he's reviewed quite a few of these agreements over the last 18 months. And he's seeing that CMO is not willing to make any changes to the agreement. He said, really, in the end, the municipality's exposure to liability and lawsuits really does not change significantly from that which would exist under its current operations and ownership of the facility. So they're comfortable with us signing this agreement. We can have a bylaw presented at the next meeting of council on March 19th to authorize the mayor and clerk to execute the agreement. CMO would like an executed agreement by April 15th. The reason for delaying the execution of the agreement is because some of the West Grey Sound municipalities are talking about contacting CMO and asking if we can go to a single stream collection. That would basically lower our contamination rates greatly because you would be mixing the plastics and the fiber into one container. Contamination at that point would only be food residues. So our contamination rates within the agreement are 4%, and that's very hard to obtain. And from other research I've done from other municipalities, they're about 12 to 15%. So I'm assuming we're most likely in that same ballpark. Waste Connections accepts anything up to 12%. So if the West Prairie Sound municipalities have success with lobbying CMO to go single stream, that would be great. We don't have much hope for that because we're kind of at the crunch time right now where they want agreements executed. We are not the only West Prairie Sound municipality that hasn't executed an agreement yet, so I'm comfortable with letting this go for a little bit longer, but knowing that we're coming to the end here soon. So if council has any concerns with the agreement, please let me know and I can either contact our insurance company or solicitor or whatnot for further clarity.
Any questions? Councilor Craig?
Yeah, definitely some questions. When you look at the definitions and you look at non-eligible sources is on page 8. So non-eligible source means a source within an eligible community listed in Exhibit 5 that is not an eligible source. When you turn to Exhibit 5, on page 40, Exhibit 5, service commencement dates. So Exhibit 5 doesn't align with the non-eligible source. They have the wrong exhibit. It should be Exhibit number 6. And when you read Exhibit number 6, there definitely are some concerning statements and equations in here. 1.8 in Exhibit 6, compensation. I think this should be of a concern. In the event there are any monies payable to CMO by the contractor, which is the municipality, Under the terms of this agreement, CMO shall invoice the contractor for such amounts, and the contractor shall pay such amounts to CMO in accordance with such invoice. So when you look at 1.9 and the following section 1.9, it talks about for each calendar month during the agreement term, the contract price for the work performed in accordance with the requirements of this agreement shall be calculated as $1 multiplied by 1,672, the number of households that receive promotion and education services for such calendar month, and divided by 12, so $139.33 plus the plus the residential depot operations costs less the non-eligible source deduction multiplied by tons of blue box materials picked up by CMO. This is concerning because when you read the next paragraph, for the purposes of this agreement, residential depot operation costs means $2,201 per month as adjusted in accordance with this agreement, and non-eligible source blue box materials unit price means $200 per ton. So the municipality is going to receive $2,201 per month plus the $139.33 minus $2,200 per ton. So when you figure out how many tons, if one, so the if you look at a table that has the compacted bale pounds per cubic yard, so these are 40 yard bins that we have. So for PET, like soda bottles, food packing, etc., the average weight per cubic yard is 400 to 600 pounds per cubic yard compacted. And they have it as well for cardboard, HPDE, milk jugs, detergent, aluminum cans, steel cans, paper, newspaper, and glass. So if you average the pounds per cubic yard that go into the containers recycling compactor, so glass, aluminum cans, steel cans, and PETs and HPDEs, you get about 805 pounds. So let's be generous and we'll say that it's 500 pounds per cubic yard. And if it's a 40-yard bin, so we multiply by 40, so 2,000 pounds per cubic yard. So let's be generous and say it's only half of that. So 10,000 pounds for each time the bin goes out. So you're talking five tons each time that bin goes out, multiplied by $200 per ton that they're going to deduct from your $2,201 per month. And that's where the clause previously about the municipality paying the invoice of what they're going to charge you. Because if you're only getting $2,201 a month plus the $139, and they're going to deduct you $200 per ton of non-eligible source, so at the end of the equation, it looks like we're going to be paying more than what we're going to be receiving, possibly certain times of the year. So I think that we definitely have to review what it is that the end payout to the municipality is, and what their calculated cost is going to be to the municipality. It doesn't say $200 per month. It says $200 per ton.
I'll review my notes on that, because I believe during the transition, the CMO is taking care of the responsibility of the ineligible materials. So for our township, it's about 2%. So that is calculated into the $2,200 per month. It's post-transition when we'll need to separate the ineligible and eligible materials, and that's when we would be charged. But again, I'll look at my notes and confirm.
Because this is the agreement they're expecting us to, this is what's presented before council. This is what we're expected to agree to. You know, and if they're not willing to change the agreements, that's even more concerning.
Ineligible, really, our township, Perry's dealing with it. We'll deal with it later in the agenda, but that concerns me, because how do we keep track of where it's coming from? I mean, we have to have separate sources too, and that's a big cost on our part. We're bound to get contamination. If you can't tell the source, I mean, how do they know where
Well,
as a school, a daycare, or somebody's house.
And I don't think they're even, they don't even have that in the equation. They're
no.
just saying flat out, we're going to give you $2,201 a month, but we're going to deduct $200 per tone. So, you know, if you have each bin that's going out is 5 tone, that's $1,000. And they say there's 4 bins that go out that month.
Yeah.
Would we go through that many in the summer and peak
period?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it'd be good to know what. I'm guesstimating probably 3 tone per, but with the calculations, it depends on what it is. If
yeah.
it's cardboard, if it's the containers. Boy, this can be a lucrative business plan for a CMO if,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're getting charged $200 per tone and that we're going to get invoiced that.
Well, they certainly won't be operating at a loss, so.
Oh.
I have something. Page 39, which is a list of the blue box materials, and including some that are not eligible, but the description is simple enough, but I mean, it's not nearly as detailed enough as we would need. And I know Carly's on the recycling subcommittee, so am I, and some of our participants have been far more helpful, particularly with plastics. And since then, I've been going home and looking in my recycling bin at all the stuff, and then finding out how much is not recyclable, despite the fact that it has a recycling symbol on it, and it looks like it is, but it's not. So, I mean, this is okay. I mean, I'll say that. It's better than getting nothing. But I think we need a lot better educational materials for our residents, ratepayers, or whatever, than this. And frankly, I think what the committee has done so far, I mean, we've got to tie it back to this, but I mean, it can be a lot more specific. Specifically, there are numbers printed on the bottom of clear plastic containers. And just from memory alone, there's 3 of them that are recyclable and the others are not. I don't know, I won't quote the numbers here because I know I'll get them wrong, but I have that at home. And when I took my recycling out and looked at it, thinking all this is recyclable, it was like more than half was not. So, I mean, there's a pressing need for educational materials that we can provide to, well, I'll just call them users of the transfer station, so that we can do that. Because I think everybody like me thinks it's got recycling, it looks good, it's clean, and I throw it in and I stop thinking about it. But
it's not only that, I think the attendant has to have a
yeah.
pretty good idea, because
yeah.
one attendant will accept something in the plastic bin and the other one won't. That goes
yeah.
in the garbage.
Oh, no.
So, I mean, what's the resident supposed to do? I mean,
sure.
Even now, we get the, as you say, it should be more detailed, the type, the big the containers you get with plants in them.
Sure.
I mean, that doesn't go in the recycling bin, I've been told. That goes
yeah.
into the regular garbage. But how does the average citizen know that? Because it is plastic. So
and I don't reasonably expect the attendant to do this, but I mean, there's a need. Like when I watch people, including me, when I go to
yeah.
the transfer station, I take my bin, dump it in, and move on to
yeah.
whatever I'm doing next. There is nobody looking, including the resident, at what's in there, right? And black plastic in particular is easy to think that that's plastic too, and again, from memory alone, that's not recyclable. So a lot of things that people think are recyclable are simply not. And so by attempting to help the environment by putting my recycles in there, I'm actually hindering it, and it would have a cost impact to us in this way. So... I went because local people told me that they thought the best signage that at a transfer station or a dump was in Seguin. I went down to the Christie landfill site, took a bunch of pictures of that. I also did the McDougall site, and I've got other people trying to get the other ones for me. And truthfully, they're a lot better than not having signs, and we don't have any signs that have any information. But based upon what I learned from the fellow in BC, what's his name? I can't
Ross.
Remember. Sorry?
Ross.
Yes, who's obviously very knowledgeable about this, is the reality is that a lot of what they got posted on signs is incorrect as well, or at least not up to date anyhow, because that's at the end of the day, this is very likely going to be a cost factor for
yeah.
us, and we need to make sure that what we're telling people is educated and up to date.
Well, that's what
right.
we'd said months ago, that the company
yeah.
itself should
yeah.
actually produce what's acceptable, what isn't.
True.
They don't, because it's to their benefit.
Of course.
Contaminated.
I do know with, I'm pleased that in the document they say they'll collaborate with us on educational materials. I've got highlighted in here somewhere, but
yeah.
And that's a nice motherhood statement, and if it's true, then it's good. But I mean, you're right that this is against their best interests in some truth. So,
so Carly, what's our next step? You're waiting for the other top single screen.
And I'll confirm the costing for sure, and maybe you can put a better breakdown for council to understand, and then we'll present a bylaw, and then you can choose to pass it or defer until more information is provided. And I can confirm that our receiving facility has been awarded by CMO, so it is Waste Connections Bracebridge. So we're planning to do a tour and a site visit with Waste Connections to kind of answer some questions regarding plastics and contamination, and bring the transportation attendant to provide him with a bit of training as well.
Excellent. It'd be interesting to know the actual receiving facility, what it looks like, and how they separate when it gets there.
So the only up in the air item now is the hauler. That hasn't been awarded yet, but again, we're assuming it's Waste Connections, but it doesn't really matter at this point. It's just the truck taking it from the transfer station to the receiving facility. So.
Okay, I know we've done this backwards, but we have resolution 24-127. Moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen, whereas Council directs the staff to obtain a legal review of the depot operations agreement with Circular Materials Ontario, CMO, and whereas staff received comments from both the solicitor and the township's insurance provider, and whereas the results were discussed with CMO providing clarity to some sections of the agreement with regard to indemnification and liabilities, and whereas the insurer has no concerns with the township executing the agreement with CMO as is. Now, therefore, be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of Keller does hereby direct staff to present a bylaw to authorize the Mayor and the Clerk Administrator to execute Depot Operations Agreement number 2024-00-120, the Township of McKellar, at the next regular meeting of Council. Discussion? Councillor Kekkonen, do you think that's too soon until we get some figures?
I'm wondering, isn't council concerned that all when you're looking at these numbers and these calculations that it's not in the favor of the municipality if you put the tonnage amounts that could be applicable and what they're going to invoice you? Like, I think we need clarification on that data before this even moves forward.
There was a breakdown of cost provided in a previous report to council. Again, I'll have to pull it up, but we've been working with a continuous improvement fund with this agreement, and they've been looking at our costings as well, and they didn't seem to have any issues. Obviously, the township would like to receive more money for our recycling, but we are covering costs based on the four-year average of our data call. But I'll provide that to council again, the costing breakdown.
Well, this was never mentioned before, like, you know, this deduction of $200 per tonne. And when you look through our previous budgets, we're getting less now than we did what's proposed in 2024 with the recycling funding that we received, and now it's 20-something thousand dollars, and if there's going to be a deduction of $200 per tonne, we definitely need clarification on this. I don't care what anyone else is signing, and if they're going to get invoiced at a later point in time and then realize that there's an implication that they didn't realize, I think we need to be, proactive and one step ahead and address this before we sign an agreement.
I'm not sure the timeline, but can we amend them by sitting at the next regular meeting, at a future regular meeting? That would give more time than saying it has to be at the next meeting. It's Councillor Zulak's motion, and I'm not sure what that does to the timeline, but.
CMO would like to have an agreement executed by April 15th. We do have a couple more council meetings before that date, so I'll work at getting some information together, and then I'll present information at the next meeting again, and then we can go from there.
So can't we defer it?
Well, you can do that, or you can just say at a future meeting.
Okay.
Either way.
Whatever the rest depends.
One other concern that I have is that calculation or those numbers are being unilaterally provided to us, and how would we know that they are? I'm not accusing them of anything. I'm just simply saying it's in their financial interest, and they get to unilaterally tell us that you had X number of tones, right? Like,
Well, the
what's wrong with that picture?
Well, the question is with CMO, do they have some agreement with the government? How does this work?
Yeah.
Because we have no alternatives by the looks of it.
Mm.
Correct.
So whatever they tell us, yes, that does seem to be the going rate.
But on what basis would, if this was a contract between you and me, would you agree that I can just tell you what it is and you got to pay me? I could tell you it's $500,000.
If they're a monopoly and there's no alternative, yeah.
I understand, but I mean, it still causes me a great deal of concern.
Well,
this is contrary to I was going to say my best interest, that too, but our best interest to sign something that is unilateral for the contracted party.
Yeah. No, I agree, and that's what I say. What alternatives are there if we don't sign?
I know. I don't know, and I certainly don't know that, but. Yeah, I see Jennifer's there, and I assume she probably wants to speak. But
oh, okay, sure. If council's agreeable to the public. Jennifer, go ahead. Yes.
Thank you very much. I just had a question about the agreement, but I just wanted to also say that one of our members of the recycling subcommittee pulled together a list of all the municipalities that have already entered under these kinds of agreements with CMO, and I'd be very happy to provide that to Mike so that he might be able to call one or two of them and just see what they, you know, what their agreement was. That'd be fine. There's a whole list of a number of municipalities came under these CMO agreements in 2023. One thing from the recycling committee is that we've been, and Carly's been attempting to assist us to find out what our contamination rates have been historically, and so that we can use that information to tell the residents of McKellar, you know, gee, you're doing a lot better, and that kind of thing. But it seems to be a stumbling block to find out exactly what the contamination rates have been. I'm thinking if we had just the past year, so say July 1st, 2023 to June 30th, 2024, what the contamination rates are in that period of time, that would be very helpful, or some period like that, so that we can compare our future contamination rates on an ongoing basis and just be able to note how we're doing. I also, Mike was mentioning at the recycling committee meeting, Councillor Kekkonen, that if we have a badly contaminated load of non-blue box material, the entire load is taken to a landfill in Muskoka, and then we pay premium rates. But we're just, so it would be really helpful if council would help us find out that information, whether the treasurer might have it or wherever those records are of you know, how the township has been penalized in the past for having contaminated loads.
Well, I think that's excellent. I don't know how we can track that, but maybe Roshan could. The normal cost and what the extra cost was?
I recall that they do break it down, but I don't know, remember whether they have the contamination rate, but
you might almost have to compare
detailed.
The figures.
Yeah, it's pretty detailed what they do provide us. So.
But the contamination rates that are in the document are, just anecdotally, severely less than our existing contamination rates, which is just going to kill us, right?
Definitely.
So, yeah, I mean, I've heard numbers, and Jennifer could talk about this better than me, but I've heard numbers as high as 12%.
Yes.
Yeah. And so these numbers that they're quoting in one place 4.4 and another place 2.2 or whatever they are, I mean, we aren't even in the ballpark, right? So that's a grave concern for us too. So,
and it's also a cost to the township.
Of course,
and, you know,
yeah.
We're looking for a win here. So
yeah.
I think Carly mentioned too at the last meeting something about the 12%, and I know she's busy typing there, but even though it says 4%.
Yeah, Waste Connections will still receive up to 12%.
But if there's an audit,
then we would be in trouble. Like other most municipalities, to be honest. Because hardly anyone's reaching that 4% number.
So do you want to change that or defer, or what do you want to do?
I think defer, just because, basically the motion goes on to say that, you know, we're whereas staff received comments from both solicitor and township insurance provider, and whereas the results discussed with CMO providing clarity to some sections of the agreement with regards to indemnification and liabilities, and whereas the insurer has no concerns with the township executing the agreement, therefore it goes to say, like, there's no concerns. You know, that's the main takeaway, and well, the reason why we're deferring it is because there are concerns about the cost calculations that may impact the municipality.
Sure.
So that's gonna go back to
okay, call the question then. All those in favor of deferring? Resolution 24-128, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haskin, be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the letter dated February the 15th, 2024, from Rick Kane, President of the Rotary Club of Prairie Sound, and further that discussions regarding sponsorship for the Three Strikes Against Cancer three pitch will occur during budget discussions. Discussion? Now, interesting that it talked about previous donations, so if we have a record of that. First go at it, we don't? Or is that just the way of saying?
I couldn't find any. I looked at previous resolutions to get a dollar figure and I couldn't find any. Yeah, so I'm not sure if that was just a generic line in
right.
the in the letter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there any way of doing a little research with the leaving us open as far
mm-hmm.
as the amount and what other townships are giving sort of thing? Or?
We can definitely do research. I don't recall that we've ever donated
no.
to that before. But I can certainly do research with the other municipalities.
Okay. So this is just saying we're discussing it during
mm-hmm.
budget. And along with that, there have been other people requesting donations as well. So we'll have to consider that at the next budget meeting. Okay, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-129, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen, be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby support the Township of the Archipelago's resolution requesting the reinstallation of a flashing light at the intersection of Highway 69 and Woods Road. Discussion? Councillor Ryan?
I'm just curious. I mean, I have no problem with the resolution as written, other than I think it would be important to put the last paragraph of the second page. I mean, in other words, just that we copy the resolution to blah blah blah. I mean, the people that are named on the next page, right? Because otherwise, it's pretty much just us saying, "Yeah, this is a good thing," but who are we telling, right? Assuming that there's so. I mean, right now they say further be resolved. Copy this resolution with a letter of explanation be sent to the Township of Carling MPP Graydon Smith, Minister of Ministry of Transportation, West Prairie Sound OPP Detachment, and the Prairie Sound and Area Industrial Park Board. Right.
I'm wondering how this goes out. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Is this attached to the Archipelago resolution? Before, we used to read out the entire resolution,
yeah.
and now we're just referencing. So if it is attached, we have no problem. But if it's our own resolution, in a sense, then
mm.
we should be sending it to certain people, I guess.
Yeah, it is. It's odd the way they sent this. So. Yeah.
I can attach the Archipelago resolution because other government agencies and municipalities were doing the same.
Yeah, so that might.
Because if it has any value, it has value by convincing others of the need
yeah.
to do so, right? So
but if it goes in with support of Archipelago, and Archipelago has forwarded it to all these
yeah.
people, then I'm thinking that looks good too.
Apparently, if we're in a council meeting where we change everything, and poor Carly's got to type like a demon. But I apologize for that, Carly. But when I read it before, I kept thinking, well, big deal. Yeah, Township of McKellar received the report. Well, big deal, right?
But we just, if it's attached to Archipelago, I just want to get that clarified,
sure.
then we don't have to say who it's going to.
Yeah.
So I think we're okay this time, but maybe for future.
Sure.
All the questions, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Resolution 24-130, 3-0, moved by Councilor Hoskins, seconded by Councilor Riley. Whereas the township has received a request from Budget Propane to run 3-axle trucks with a load not to exceed 6,700 kilograms per axle during the reduced load period, half loads. And whereas Section 122, parentheses, subsection 2 of the Ontario Highway Traffic Act provides that A, no 2-axle tank truck, while used exclusively for the transportation of liquid or gaseous heating fuel, shall be operated upon any designated highway where the weight upon an axle exceeds 7,500 kilograms. And whereas the delivery of propane for home heating fuel is an essential service, now therefore be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby grant the request from Budget Propane of Gravenhurst for the extension of the interpretation of the Section 122, subsection 2, for vehicles used exclusively for the transportation liquid or gaseous heating fuel to include 3-axle, tandem rear axle, commercial vehicles such that they may carry a weight of 6,700 kilograms per axle. Discussion? Has this run through Greg?
Yeah, I called him this morning and asked him and he said, yeah, he was good with this.
He was okay with it? Councilor Ryan?
The curious thing is, what about the other propane companies and or fuel oil companies, period? I mean, I'm genuinely curious why they wouldn't race this, assuming, I assume it affects them just the same amount unless they have more 3-axle trucks, I don't know, but anyway, I don't know that this council can answer that, I'm not really saying it for that purpose, but it does strike me that this is one of, I think, 6 propane suppliers in the area, so, you know, I don't object to it, as a matter of fact, I'd even support it. By the same token, it's odd that we didn't get it from anybody else, so.
Well, really not odd in a sense, because many people maybe are doing it without going through the legal process.
That may be true too.
We
so.
Had that before with signage, that certain signs were put up without following the regulations, so we had to make a stiffer regulation and make sure that we enforced it, because they just weren't following the procedures. So there may be many out there, you're right, running illegally, but unless they're stopped or questioned, they seem to be doing it so that they won't be ticketed,
right,
or pulled off the road.
But this may be the cause of the damage. That's pure conjecture, but on Hurtville Road that we were talking about earlier tonight, right? Because they certainly were heavier vehicles than my pickup truck, that's for sure, that did it. So,
yeah, it's a question of, you know, how do you do the surveillance of that?
Yeah, I know.
And what penalties do you have in place?
Greg, offer anything that way? Or, Debbie, or is it just...
No, no, but my take on that is everything is complaint-based.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say they're covering themselves, because usually when enforcement of, you know, the half loads, somebody's complaining because they'll phone and they'll complain because somebody's going by, you know, with a full load. But maybe they have their axle, more axles or something that they can carry the load. Maybe they're carrying half loads and they have proof of that.
Anyway.
Maybe this company here is just wanting, you know, to be sure.
And I understand that.
And get an exemption, you know, so like exactly how they explained here, so that they don't have to carry that, you know, half a load, they carry the full load.
Any further discussion on that?
Yeah, so that's the question, who's enforcing this? You know, the taxpayers end up carrying the cost of the repairs to these roads. I did have a complaint from a taxpayer who's indicating that one of the contracting companies is carrying full loads of gravel in their dump trucks on McKellar Township roads. So who's monitoring it, and who's going to pay for repairs? The roads are in really, they've got hit really hard the last week here. You'll notice when you're driving, you'll hit soft spots where it's completely giving away underneath. It's mush. It's.
I'm wondering, is that in the bylaw enforcement officer job description? It could be, I suppose. But you'd have to know the law too. I mean, what exactly is it? We used to have that on bridges. They used to have weights on those at certain times, but then they're all they're not posted now, they're all wide open, I guess, but I'm wondering what you go by for a half load. Is it physically looking at a load that are
yeah, it's
that's
tens
of
grass.
It's so many cones.
Yeah,
yeah. We don't have a weighing machine, so how do you enforce something like that?
Well, they would know what the truck can hold.
Yeah.
And you'd see on probably on the door panel gross vehicle weight.
Yeah.
So would bylaw enforcement be able to stop somebody and say, then what do you do if they're halfway across the road? Send them back across the road? Find them? I don't know what we have in place. It's a good point.
Charge them on the way out and charge them on the way back, you know, so I'm kidding.
I know in the past we've gotten exemption letters from different companies or people, you know, they were going to be hauling. You know, on a certain day, they had to get in, and they always went through Greg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, concrete trucks would do that a lot
early
year. But they'd be running, real small loads, you know. Hardly, you know, because I think an empty truck is pretty much illegal in some cases for some trucks, so, and all they want to do is carry a little bit, so. It is a concern, but if Greg's, he knows more than I do, thinks it's fine, but you're talking a truck that is a truck carrying 15,000 kilometers, two axle isn't allowed. This is going to allow a truck now carrying 20,000 kilograms on our roads, and that'll kind of thing, and I just visualize them going across our soft roads right now. It's scary proposition, I think. I think it's a bad year to be considering this.
Yeah, but you can't deny people the propane.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this year they probably want to freeze to death.
No, I know. No, exactly.
Whatever.
Yeah,
I guess we'll have to go with our recommendation, but
I know that Georgian Bay Propane and I think Superior Propane have much smaller trucks, and not so much for weight. They have them because their access roads to get to where the tanks are in many cases very much smaller. So, I mean, I think that's what it would boil down to. I wouldn't think they would leave anybody without propane, but if we chose to defeat this, then they might try and take some kind of retribution on poor homeowners that are waiting for propane. But
or they might purchase a smaller truck.
That's true.
It's possible
that's
they could follow.
But I take your point, Mike. I mean, in here, realistically, we don't have staffing enough to, you know, what roads would you monitor and everything else, right? So,
I was just going to say that Greg knows the condition of our roads because they have to repair them.
Hmm.
And if he's saying that this will be okay, then I think we should be going with what he suggested.
Any further comments? I think it's for a future conversation with our bylaw enforcement, and see what we might be able to do, and with Greg,
and see how they handle it. Like, if he's going along and sees somebody going with a truck, does he stop and or whatever, ask or look at it and see what they're carrying? Or I don't know how it works. All I know is that, you know, usually people will call and ask for an exemption.
If you're going to try and stop, presumably you have to have a light on the car. I mean, with probably a yellow light. I don't know what they could, but I mean, otherwise, why would the driver of the truck stop?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm not criticizing. I'm just asking.
I don't
right?
know.
There's
maybe
there's
follow
loose ends
them
here.
Where they're going and then ask them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I would have to look into the legalese because, I mean, there are many occasions where you have to stop and there's no light.
Yeah.
It's somebody standing there with a sign. They're doing construction or something. So there's probably all kinds of reasons why they can stop you and pull you over.
And presumably he would go out based upon a complaint that somebody had. I mean, and may not catch the culprit if indeed there is one. But, you know, if it's a repeated pattern, then it would be worth it for us. But, and we would then have to establish a fine or a fee for such a situation, right? But I don't really know how we'd do that. Anyway, there's lots of loose ends, but I think that's worth having a conversation, right?
Well, we do have a bylaw on load restrictions. Maybe that was on bridges. From years back, I remember putting it into place, so maybe we can look at that and see what it says.
I think, you know, really, like when they put the half loads on there, it's mainly for the contractors, I'm guessing. It's mainly for the contractors, you know, so that they're hauling in for septics and stuff like that, and then the cement trucks, and so they know that they can't
And it's all across the board, I believe, when they put them on and when they take them off
right.
in the area. But I guess maybe individual circumstances, that's why they ask for an exemption.
Okay, call the question. All those in favor?
Yeah, I'll vote in favor too. I'm Greg's recommendation, so.
So you're in favor? I'm not seeing all hands go up here.
Oh,
so.
Sorry.
Nope.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm Greg.
I'll have a recorded vote now.
Okay.
Councillor Morley Haskell.
No.
Councillor Mike Keckner.
No.
Councillor Nick Ryland.
Yes.
Councillor Debbie Zulak.
Yes.
Mayor David Moore.
Oh, the pressure.
Let me get my camera going first, yeah.
Well, because of what I'm hearing about all the conditions of our roads, and there are alternative means of getting to them, I'll have to say no to.
Okay.
Okay, so that's defeated, 3-2. Resolution 24-131, moved by Councilor Keckinen, second by Councilor Zulak. Whereas autism spectrum disorder, ASD, affects millions of individuals worldwide, transcending geographical, cultural, and socioeconomic boundaries, and whereas recognizing the unique talents, abilities, and perspectives of individuals with autism enriches our communities and promotes inclusivity and diversity, and whereas raising awareness about autism spectrum disorders fosters understanding, acceptance, and support for individuals and families affected by autism. And whereas the United Nations General Assembly in Resolution 62-139 designated April the 2nd as World Autism Awareness Day to highlight the need for increased understanding and acceptance of people with autism. Now therefore, be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby proclaim April the 2nd, 2024, as World Autism Awareness Day in our community. Further, that the Township of McKellar fly the flag, quotation marks, as a part of the awareness campaign. And further, that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar calls upon local leaders, policymakers, and stakeholders to collaborate in efforts to create a more inclusive and supportive environment for individuals with autism, ensuring equal access to education, employment, healthcare, and social services. And further, that a copy of this resolution be circulated to Prairie Sound Muskoka MP Scott Aitchison, Prairie Sound Muskoka MPP Braden Smith, Minister of Health Sylvia Jones, Minister of Education Stephen Lecce, Minister of Children, Community and Social Services Michael Parsa, and Autism Ontario, to demonstrate our commitment to promoting awareness, understanding, and acceptance of autism spectrum disorders. Discussion? Councilor Ryan?
Do we have a flag?
I've ordered a flag.
Okay.
It's $20
yeah.
for the flag.
Just, you know, if we're going to fly the flag, then I guess we should fly the flag. But
well, that was my question,
yeah.
too. Where do we fly it?
Yeah. Well,
because I'm not sure. We
and
have.
That's, we were talking about that the other day. And even if we have you know, something similar to that, that we can even just have it outside the door.
Right.
You know, because we don't actually have a flagpole where we can put it, but we can certainly.
What about the
but there's certain legislation, certain.
Yeah,
yes.
I know.
So,
I'm familiar
yes.
with that. But.
We don't touch the flags at the
no.
cenotaph. No, they.
Okay.
Very strict regulations
okay.
on that one. But yeah, there's some. There will be some way that we can put the flag
sure.
out.
Sure. Fair enough.
Any further discussion? All question? All those in favor? No, hold it, carry. Resolution 24-132, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haskin, be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby support the Township of Perry Resolution number 2024-52, requesting the province to amend the blue box regulation for ineligible sources, and further that this resolution be forwarded to the Honourable Doug Ford, Premier of Ontario, the Honorable Andrea Amgen, Minister of the Environment and Conservation and Parks, the Honorable Graydon Smith, MPP, Kurri-Sama-Muskoka, and to the Township of Perry. Discussion? Councilor Cuggan?
As well, if we can contact the Township of Perry and ask if they're not concerned about the deduction according to the adjusted deductions in accordance with the agreement for non-eligible source food blocks material unit price.
Would that be one part of this or a separate resolution?
Just if staff would, do we want a resolution, like staff contact?
Yeah, staff can do it, I guess.
I can reach out to Beth, the clerk there, that's fine.
Okay. Just to highlight, you know, that particular clause, and if that's not a major concern to them as well.
Wouldn't it be good to have a resolution and maybe they have a look at that and then they could, you know, pass something in to other townships?
Yes, I think that's yeah.
Perfect.
Pass the buck on to them and they can pass it on to others. But yeah.
Next meeting.
I'm not meaning pass the buck as in abandon.
Next meeting.
I can say the Township Repair Resolution is being forwarded to the District Repair and Savvy Municipal Association meeting, so that's where all the 23 member municipalities will see that resolution come to the table as well. So just keep that in mind as well.
But I think that because there's a time deadline here in regards to when they want this signed, the sooner that other municipalities consider this cost penalty, that.
Okay, if you can have that resolution prepared before we leave.
Put you on the spot. Anyway. I think it's valid.
It's just a question of when to do it. Maybe we shouldn't put it off for another meeting.
You know, it's the same as the situation that we were in with NPAC.
Right.
You know, until someone pointed out that, you know, there were certain concerns, then everyone just rubber stamped basically the document and let it go through.
So this would be added to this resolution or in a separate resolution?
In a separate.
I think it's separate. Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Carly, are you working on that? No? Okay.
We can do that.
Carly's creeping more and more to the right so we can't see her, then that way she doesn't have to.
I can work on it.
She'll soon be in the library.
Yeah.
We're
under. Thank you, Carly, for your eternal patience, anyhow. So.
Call the question on this one. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Okay, so just carry on for now? Until
yeah, maybe under new business or something.
Okay. So, Debbie, was it you that put this one through on the rabies clinic?
Yeah, I thought we were doing
19.6.
19.6?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'll have that one first. Very sound recreation. Mm-hmm. And whether it's a resolution or we just discuss the letter?
I will discuss the letter in a few minutes.
Okay. So everyone received that letter?
The
letter, I don't believe it's in here.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Is it not at the back?
At the back?
I printed it off, so.
The resolution, or the letter is not.
I don't think I did.
I printed it
on
computer.
Yeah, that's what I did.
I remember reading it's about it.
Rabies.
Yeah, bridge financing, right?
I do too, but I don't know what the heck I've done with it, so.
Several months back to refer to that.
Yeah, we have no resolution for tonight, so it's just to make us aware, I guess, of where they're coming from. We'll wait till Anna gets back. She just received this. It was dated yesterday. I don't know when she received it.
Resolution.
So it's a concern expressed about our attendance at meetings. I had asked Ina to investigate how the minutes are being recorded. There's no indication that we're there or not there.
Hmm.
And I'm wondering what the reason behind that is. If they still think we're a member, even though we've said we're not, if they still think we're a member, then we should be, I would think, in the minutes as absent. Not, you know, neglected at all.
Hmm.
It's just a bit confusing to me that they haven't accepted our request to leave the board, and yet they don't acknowledge that we're not at a meeting.
Yeah.
So it's almost interpreted to me, anyway, that we're not part of the board.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we should be indicated. But it's interesting, too, what it says in the letter that the meetings are January the 17th, February the 14th, and February the 19th. I'm not sure that February the 19th, that was never advertised as far as I know, the meeting on Monday on Family Day.
No, that was the meeting that was just for the representatives.
Right, but they have to open an open session.
Yeah, but
and
they
have produced, since then, the motion for that meeting on the 19th, but it never showed up where they usually put their agendas. It just happened, and then it looks like working backwards, I don't know officially what went on. They probably opened an open session. I hope they did. But the public certainly wasn't aware. It was never advertised that there was any meeting on the 19th. Even if it's going to be a closed session, it should be advertised with a notice. I couldn't see any notices anywhere where they usually post the notices. So that's a bit of a shock that we missed the February 19th meeting. As far as I know, the public wasn't aware there was a meeting. And what was decided there, I don't know, it's a closed session. Now, I don't know whether they're sending, maybe Ina can answer this, whether they're sending all minutes to us, closed session as well as open, because we actually argued that even the closed session is supposed to come so that we can discuss it in closed session. Did we receive open minutes and closed meeting minutes?
We do receive closed minutes as well.
So did we receive the 19th closed meeting?
Not those ones we haven't received yet.
No.
Rebecca?
I haven't got any.
No, because I contacted Rebecca today because I didn't even have the open minutes for the 19th. And I asked her.
No.
I asked her for those, so she sent those to me today and she said that because of a backlog, she didn't have the closed minutes done, but she would have them to me by the end of the week. So,
yeah, because she sent in after that meeting, she sent an email saying that she would be sending out the minutes.
Yes.
But I've never received them.
Mm-hmm.
And when I seen this email, I was looking back through my minutes, and I thought,
yeah.
I haven't got them.
No, you definitely have not got them for the 19th. I've got them for the January
mm-hmm.
and the February 14th one. The 19th one, I sent her an email today requesting it because of the letter that they had sent.
So the township, I guess, as a whole, is still receiving email correspondence, as you said, of
mm-hmm.
what's going on?
Yeah,
I get an email for that we get when the meetings are and the Zoom link and the agenda and the minutes.
So that's what's interesting, that we're being acknowledged through emails when the meetings are, so we're not being acknowledged in the minutes that we're not there.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering what they think of our, now he's asking us to attend, and like I say, we have that resolution in place. So it's a question of what council wants to do from this point on. Whether you want to attend a meeting, where I'm not sure if they've all voted against our resolution, or whether there's one township that didn't, but we'd have to have that verified, I guess. Mostly we got letters from them saying that they didn't want us to leave the agreement, to leave the board.
The only one that I don't have is from Carlin.
I'm pretty sure we got one from Garland.
Did you?
Okay. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they all.
I'm confident that they all said they wouldn't accept
yeah.
it, but I don't recall getting anything from Mackenzie, but I'll go back and check.
Yeah, the thing that concerns me the most is this closed meeting on the 19th with no notice. Now, maybe they have notice somewhere, and it'd be interesting to know. We don't even have the minutes, so it'd be interesting to know what went on in that closed meeting, whether it had bearings. All he says in his letter here is the chair, a number of important decisions to be made. Did they make decisions on the 19th? Be interesting to know. So.
Is the 19th the one where they passed the tenders?
That I don't know.